Welcome, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and call to order this Hazard Mitigation Committee meeting. It's Wednesday, October 8th, 6 p.m. We're at Lot 2, Castle Valley Drive, and also on Zoom tonight. We'll do a quick roll call, then open with open public comment.
So on the Hazard Mitigation Committee, we have Colleen Thompson, Ron Drake, Egmont Honer, Orjay Honer, Jasmine Duncan, and myself. And audience, we have Laura Cato and Greg Halliday. And on Zoom, we have Mason Camp.
Thank you. Do we have any open public comment tonight? Hearing none, we'll move on to approval of the meeting minutes from April 22nd, May 27th, June 24th, and July 22nd, all of 2025. Anyone want a motion to approve minutes? Do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
And we'll move right into item three, Mason Kemp from our Utah Division of Emergency Management, giving us some of our draft plan feedback and feedback on the approval procedure. Thanks for coming tonight, Mason. Hope you had a chance to look through everything.
I did get a chance. I actually also emailed a copy of your plan back to your town castle or town clerk at castlevalleyutah.com account with all my comments on it, just so you could have a copy of it and see all the comments that I've made on it. But I guess thanks for having me. How do you guys want this to go, or how do you imagine kind of going over it? Would you rather I go over the adoption process first and then kind of dive into the plan, or what kind of?
What would be the most helpful, Jocelyn?
We're on the wrong speaker system.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No worries. It sounds like audio stuff.
What do you want?
It's supposed to be the
echo canceling speaker. Meeting
no, it's a new thing.
Oh, you want the anchor?
TX, whatever?
Probably, that's probably.
It's the conch something.
Okay, now let's see how you sound.
Hello?
Say something, Mason.
Hi, Mason.
Yeah, can you guys hear me okay?
No. It's still the wrong speaker. It's the meeting conch or whatever.
It's crazy. It generally defaults to it.
It's plugged in.
Oh.
You got to turn it on.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Sorry.
The projector on was hard enough.
Too many gadgets.
There.
That shows up as meeting conf person.
You were painfully loud on the speakers we were using.
I turned it down.
Oh, well. When we started.
Let's just go.
Can you hear me okay now?
I hear you fine.
Or am I yelling at you?
No.
I just heard that the microphone will be in use.
But he can hear us, so maybe it's okay.
Well, there's a separate thing. There may be a little bit of background.
That's why we got the mail, because the owl microphone was doing.
Okay, anyway, Jocelyn stepped out. She has the draft plan back with your comments.
Yeah, I took a look over the plan, and what I kind of did was, because it wasn't an official review, I went through and I looked at the planning policy guide that FEMA has released, and I kind of went through your guys' plan and kind of pointed out different things that I saw that would align with the different elements that have to be met in order for the plan to be approved. and then made comments about whether what was in the plan was sufficient, if more details or different information would be needed, required, those type of comments. I guess the other thing I wanted to check is if you would want me to go over the kind of process for plan adoption or approval right now first, or do we want to look through the plan? Kind of what's everyone?
We can go through the approval process. I think Jocelyn might have wanted some. That's kind of how she worded the agenda item, but she stepped out, so I don't know.
Okay.
He's trying to pull up your document, I guess.
Gotcha. I can also email it to another email if it's easier. Plan-wise, let's just dive. Is it okay if I go ahead and dive into the process?
Let's do that.
Aware of that. Okay. So I think if I can share my screen, I'll just show kind of the most recent planning policy guide that we have, and where the plan review and approval procedure can be found. And hopefully you should be seeing 6 plan review, approval, and procedure on your screen. And this is in the policy guide. The most recent one was actually released this past April. I noticed in your guys' draft plan, you referenced the 2023 version. So I just made a couple notes to make sure you guys correct that and make sure you're going off the most recent version of the policy guide in the plan. But essentially, you guys have already gone through and done the planning process, created a plan, you have a draft plan. The next step would be to submit a PRT or a plan review tool to us. You'll send it to me. And in it, it will outline all the different parts of the plan where each of these different elements that are being requested can be found in the plan. And once that gets sent to me, me and my team will take roughly 30 days. It depends on your guys' plan is actually pretty straightforward and clear cut and like where everything is. So it won't hopefully take too long. It just depends on the other plans that have been submitted and how many other is on our workload. But around 30 days is kind of what we give. I mean, go a little bit longer, that we will take time to review the plan and see if it meets all the elements that are required to meet the Code of Federal Regulations that are outlined here. After we do our review, we'll go through and we'll fill out the PRT, marking each element as either met or not met. And then for the elements that we determine are not met, we will give feedback saying why it wasn't met and like ways you can make sure that it's met or like revise the plan to meet those elements. If we get sent the plan and we have no comments, no required revisions that we find, we will let you know, and then we'll send the PRT and the plan to FEMA. Region 8 is our regional office that we work with. They're based out of Denver. Once we send it to them, they have 45 days to review the plan. And it's pretty much the exact same process, but on their side, where they'll go through the plan, go through the plan review tool, determine whether each of the elements have been met or not met, and then they will give us their determination. If they decide that it meets it, typically they'll send us a APA notice or approved pending adoption, which essentially just means that your plan is approved. All that they need is an official adoption resolution from your town submitted to them, so then they can actually send the official approval letter. In the case that they have revisions that need to be made, it kind of starts the process over. So they'll send it to us. We'll pass it along to you. They'll outline what needs to be revised. Once you've made those revisions, you'll submit them back to us, and we'll just double check, confirm that what FEMA was looking for has been met, pass it along to them, and then kind of that process starts again. But are there any specific questions pertaining to kind of that process?
So our town council doesn't adopt it until it comes back from FEMA.
So that's actually kind of the preferred method that FEMA has been having everyone do, just so that if in the plan you adopt it as it is, but then they require some
changes,
large changes, your adoption resolution can either have flexible language stating we approve the plan and understand there might be minor changes in order for it to meet the revisions, or just to get, so you don't have to worry about that, they rather you just adopt it after it's already been approved, so then you don't have to worry about any flexible language.
That makes the most sense to me.
Yeah.
Okay, did you want him to go over some of the things in the his comments?
Well, what was your, Mason, what was your overall thoughts on our plan? I mean, are we getting close, or was, I did just copy the plan with his comments on it, but do we have a lot more to do? Is there some specific things that you wanted to address?
Let me go over this plan review tool real quick, and then I think that'll help me kind of segue into your guys' plan, because overall the plan is looking good. I think you guys have a really good start and base, especially giving a lot of that background context for your community that I think is really helpful to paint the picture of what we're seeing there. What kind of it's missing is a little more of the nitty gritty of, it's kind of like redundant or like over explaining some things that FEMA requires in some ways, just so that there's like accountability and that anyone reading the plan, I think they like to say like an eighth grade reading level would be able to look through and make sense for them, right? But real quick, looking at the plan review tool, this is what you guys will actually submit to us, and then we would submit to the state. You'll just put the jurisdiction, so that will be Castle Valley, right?
Or should I hit the lights?
I can.
Washed out. There we go.
Okay.
So this is just looking at an example of the plan review tool. This is where we'll put our state review stuff. Because you guys are just a single jurisdiction, you don't have to worry about the multi-jurisdictional summary sheet. This is the plan review checklist. So here is where you guys are going to go through and put in this column, the location and plan, the section or page number where this element is discussed or met in the plan. It's broken up into how many elements? A, B, C, D, E. There's about 5 or 6, depending on what you guys are looking to do. Element A, planning process. That's going to be, you guys have that outlined in yours. I can go through each of the different elements in your guys' plan and kind of give my overall, I think the comments and the notes that I made on your guys' plan, you'll see that I kind of try to point out different elements where things would be met. So I try to specify whether like A1A, A1B, different parts of the PRT that you would find that in your plan. The ones that I think are often most missed in our jurisdictions across the state, and I do track these just to try to get a sense of where, like, we kind of just as in general our communities struggle with their elements. It's going to be element B, the risk assessment, and element C, the mitigation strategy. Those are kind of the bulk parts of the plan, so it makes sense. But kind of where people tend to mess up is that the language and what's being required is very specific what FEMA's looking for. So little things like B1D, where it says, does the plan include the history of previous hazards events for each identified hazard? You guys have hazard events for each of your, like, a good history. You guys give really good explanation. But the only reason that it would be marked as not met in your guys' plan is that if you go into this actual plan review tool, and let's find it. There's like a more in-depth explanation of these different elements. If you look at D1D, at a minimum, this includes any state and federal major disaster declarations for the planning area since the last update. And FEMA wants to see specifically that language stating, since the last plan update, there was this federal major disaster declaration that occurred within our jurisdictional area. Or if there weren't any, you have to specifically state there were no federal disaster declarations since the last plan update for this hazard. So even though you guys have like such good information and really detailed for everything regarding the history of disaster occurrences, if you don't include that like specific language, they'll mark it as not met, which is frustrating, but it's just kind of like little nitty gritty that it gets into these kind of plan reviews.
So I'm sorry, where are we putting that statement that there's been no federal disaster?
Under each of our hazards.
Each hazard.
Yeah, and I can go at least the fire hazard that you guys have and just kind of look at that one as an example. So should be seeing this kind of fire section from your guys' plan, right? Oh, this is one thing that I wanted to comment on as just in general would probably be a good idea for your guys' plan is to have a narrative or section right below this area before you guys get into the actual hazard, like, profiles is what we like to call them. Just kind of giving a general overview of the hazards that could occur or do occur in your jurisdiction. Just so there's a section kind of explaining, giving an overview of all the hazards you're going to be discussing. So then there's a way that if there's any hazards that you guys could potentially have, but you're not going to go into detail because there's no risk or hazard really associated for any of your assets, your city, town, or if it happens just far enough in that round that you're not actually worried about those hazards. This is a good section to kind of just explain that so that you're kind of giving that rationale for why you're not discussing those hazards.
Like hurricanes or something.
Right. Yes, or avalanches, right? I don't know if I'm pretty sure avalanches are happening down by you. So that's just kind of, these are common in Utah, but like due to our geography, due to our location, these are not things that are going to happen or have been seen through historical data or something like that.
Got it.
But to go back into the fire hazard profile, so here you guys have this history section where you have a lot of good information about historic fire hazard events, right? But somewhere within this section, you're going to want to add that specific language, whether there was a federal disaster declaration regarding a fire, a wildfire, within your jurisdictional boundary. Just so you kind of meet that specific requirement they're looking for. All this other information is perfect. It looks great. You can see the year, kind of what it was classified as. I believe your guys' last plan was, let me pull it up real quick. Your last plan was
2020.
So really this element, and especially for like the plan update portion, you wouldn't quite need to go as far back as 2010, but it's always nice to see kind of, I don't know, just for historical reference and like the cadence of when fires have happened, whether there's been high years versus low, that's not an issue to have more than is necessary, but this is just mainly looking at since the last time was updated, right?
Okay, so,
so that's just up to you if you want to like cut back a little bit, but now getting into the actual like different components, this is all part of the risk analysis. When it comes to location, you guys have maps provided earlier on, but just from experience, I know FEMA will want to see more detail explaining beyond just anywhere where fuel is, because that doesn't really give context as to like hazard, if there are like higher hazard potential areas or just kind of that kind of details that they won't feel like that's enough information being provided regarding location. Extent is another hard one because they like to see extent defined as often used in scales showing the anticipated in, like range of intensities. So if you're using this table, or if this is kind of what you are using to meet all those different elements that are required for the risk assessment, there needs to be some kind of definition or something correlating with how you guys came up with these different scales that you have here. So for probability, there needs to be some kind of like maybe earlier on before you guys get into the different hazard profiles, something kind of explaining why or how you guys came up with these probability like different indicators. Let's see. So this next section, the risk assessment and mitigation strategies, this is kind of where I am a little confused, or maybe I just need clarification as to whether you guys are using these different numbered items as mitigation actions. And if so, element C4 and C5, kind of what is going to be related to the mitigation action or mitigation strategy that you guys have. Having potential cost is great. That's required. They want to see potential cost of mitigation actions. Public support or percentage of the town population to benefit. These are not scales that they're looking for or like require. It's great that you guys have them because it helps paint the picture of kind of the buy-in and kind of the whole community approach to it. The things that they mostly want to see with these, I believe, correlate more with your guys's, there's like a section further down in the plan about mitigation priority. I believe that's what it is. And you have like 5 or 6 actions listed. But they want to see the agency that would oversee these mitigation actions, the time frame of how long it is assumed, whether for like something like mowing roads to expand the fire break, that could be an ongoing action, right? Something that's continually being happened or doing, policy changes, that just depends on when that gets put into your guys' legislation and stuff like that. So there's different time frames that they want to see for each of these different mitigation actions that you guys have listed out. And that has to be done for each of the hazards that you guys have listed.
I thought we only had to go into all that for our priority ones that we selected. I didn't think we had to get all, those are just suggestions, all those are potential strategies.
I didn't think
we had to go into a lot of detail. There were just potential things that we could do.
Yeah, and I guess that's where I was kind of wanting to get clarification on, because if that's the case, that's totally fine. I would just add something in your narrative above here that these are a range or like potential mitigation actions that you guys are considering, because that is another element. It's C4A, where you have to list a range of mitigation actions. So that's good to know, because that helps kind of explain this a little bit more on my end. But then when we get down, and I apologize, everyone, I'm going to scroll down to the bottom of your plan, so I don't want you to get whiplash.
So I'm sorry. So what kind of language did you want added to the mitigation strategies at the beginning?
We just need to spell out that those are just potential strategies that we've considered.
Yeah. That's kind of what the heading says, though. So we just put it again in the text.
Yeah, sorry, just like the language that is used is just slightly different from what you see in the policy guide. So you'll have like mitigation goals, and then you'll have mitigation strategies, or mitigation actions is kind of what I think you guys have down here, but you call them priority projects. So this kind of gets more into, that clarifies that those are just potential ones, but then these are the actual mitigation actions that you guys are doing. Here you do have a time frame, you have the cost, you have funding wise. This is not enough detail. They want to see beyond just general like funding categories. You're gonna have to go into things such as they have to go beyond generic terms such as town, state, federal. So if there's like a town general fund, for some reason they see that more as like a possible or more detailed action. But just town.
So spell out where it's coming out of the budget.
Yes.
Okay.
Another thing that would help your actions is that in order to meet or for some of the elements to be met, especially in the mitigation strategy, every hazard that was identified as a risk to the town of Castle Valley must have a mitigation action associated with it. So above, you guys have all these listed potential items, right? But here you have four actions that are the updated recommended priority projects. What would help is specifying which hazards that these goals or actions aim to address, so that you can see that each of the hazards that were discussed in the plan have an associated mitigation action that was like decided upon.
So link each of these priority projects to a hazard or more than one hazard.
Yes.
Okay.
And I kind of put these all in comments. Like if there are multiple hazards for one of these mitigation actions, you just have to kind of include in the details how the action mitigates the risks from each of the hazards. It can't be too generic in like what it's stating.
So I could just add another line in those boxes for, you know, related hazard or something like that, and then we could list them.
Yep, yep. And I think this kind of ties back into, for like the readability or like legibility of the plan, below your guys's, right before you get into that fire hazard profile, having all the different hazards listed out and explained, just kind of helps tie together that there's like this hazard or these hazards should all have mitigation actions listed below or could be found in our priority mitigation projects.
Right. Okay.
So real quick, I do have a question about, you said that we have to have a project that covers each of the hazards associated. We do have some plans for like rockfall and subsidence and things like that, but there's never been really any history of property damage from either of those. So they're not prioritized. Do we still need to come up with a project for those or some kind of exemption statement or something along those lines? Or
yeah, that's kind of the other part that is a little difficult with how your guys' plan is set up. It's because the way you guys have outlined or like described your different hazards, some of them I would consider more as like sub-hazards of other hazards. Like subsidence, I often see within earthquakes because earthquakes can often lead to subsidence issues with the soil and such like that. Because you guys have it directly called out and like its own section, they're going to see and read that as like it needs a mitigation action for it. But if you guys leave it a little more broad and say, or like if it's included underneath earthquake, you can mention that that's something that could occur. But given the history, you know, that rationale statement that you're talking about, or same with like rockfall, landslides, those are kind of similar hazards. I also noticed that you guys have a lot of hazards or like hazards in here that aren't necessarily required, or FEMA won't review them because they don't consider them like natural hazards.
Right.
These include things like they probably won't review biological hazards, even though that is something that we've seen funding or different things from FEMA before, but they don't consider viruses or pandemics, biological hazards as a natural hazard that they would review for. It kind of falls under Health and Human Services or different jurisdictions. Earthquakes is perfect, rockfall, that's there. I think you guys had one for like water contamination, which I don't think they would review for. They more fall in line with like flooding and the different kind of sub hazards within flooding. So I haven't fully gone through and kind of pointed those out. I'd be happy to, and just kind of so you guys are on your side would understand what things FEMA or like at least for the Code of Federal Regulations they will review for. That being said, you're totally welcome to have all these in there. This plan is your guys' plan. If these are things that you find our concerns and like would be helpful to discuss and have mitigation actions or kind of be make sure you're aware of them, those are totally welcome to be in there. That they probably wouldn't review it.
Yeah, that's kind of why we always have just included them. I think we've been aware in the past that they're not going to be looking at all of these things, but if we aren't including all the things that we've identified, it's kind of useless to us.
Yeah.
So my question would be then, if FEMA's not interested in those, then we don't have to incorporate them in our priority projects. They don't have to be accounted for in any priority project.
Nope. You don't have to, in the sense that they won't review for it. They're mostly concerned about natural hazards and what they define as natural hazards. So.
Okay.
Sweet. Is there any other questions? Or what are other things that you guys feel like would be helpful for me to expand upon, provide more context into?
So the our priority projects, the funding was the only thing that you saw there that we need to.
And linking to what hazards they're addressing.
Those two things. Everything else is okay on those, or is there something else in there?
The other thing is that I noticed, and I don't know if it's on there, but I made a note of it, is to make sure that each of these actions or priority projects have a jurisdiction, an agency, or like a department listed. That's kind of like the lead department that can be contacted or who to go to that would be overseeing this project. I know you guys have like many different departments. I think you have the I listed it a couple times, the Castle Valley Fire Protection Division. If they're going to be overseeing one of these mitigation actions, there just should be somewhere that like ties them as like the lead overseeing a mitigation action.
Okay.
I think you kind of have jurisdictions involved, right? And when you have multiple like this listed, they just want clarity on like who would be the lead overseeing.
So all I need to do there is then go into that box and put like lead jurisdiction and list it and then go on to have other jurisdictions involved.
Yeah. So even if you can do it however you want. If you want to leave a new line that says like lead jurisdiction, or if you just want to put in parentheses next to it, lead.
Okay.
It's up to you.
Now those priority projects, we just have them in the old way. Are we supposed to rank them and what we consider the priority? Is that relevant or?
We definitely know the ranking is pertinent when it comes to, element C5A, but that's more so they want to see that there was some type of criteria used for prioritizing them. I think you guys kind of go into that where you have, especially in these like different potential projects where you have like public support, potential benefits. I think that would help, something that would help strengthen this is that before getting into your actual priority projects, it's just having a narrative describing how like what was the criteria used for prioritizing these actions?
Right.
Such as like associated costs, public buy-in that you guys already discussed, and kind of how you determine those. And that will just help.
So we don't need to rearrange those in the order of what we feel are priorities.
No. If this is the priority, that's totally fine. I think you just have to add kind of why you've listed them the way that you did. I will say there are a couple of these that FEMA wouldn't consider mitigation actions. They would consider them more response or preparedness actions, whereas mitigation is looking at long-term ways to lessen or eliminate the impacts of a hazard. Emergency communications or different things with communications, they see as an immediate response or an immediate kind of or more preparedness for the immediate aftermath of a disaster rather than looking at long-term solutions. Similarly with emergency operation plans.
Yeah, I can see where preparedness and mitigation it's a little confusing.
Yeah. You guys can include these still in your plan because they are things that we see are relevant and a lot of communities want them as actions. But in order to meet the requirements, if you were to use, let's say this one, investigate emergency communication systems for multiple of the hazards listed, they wouldn't list those, or they wouldn't mark that hazard as having a mitigation action. They would look at your other actions or projects and see if that hazard has something associated with it.
I don't understand that, because we have serious communication problems in this valley. It's probably the number one mitigation strategy we need to work on. But
yeah, I'm not positive why they have certain feelings towards communication devices, but they kind of pointed out to us, at least, that things like communications or emergency communications, they don't consider a long-term solution to the hazards, more of just an immediate response or way to be prepared for them. But I do think it's valuable to have this still in your plan, because as you mentioned, that is something that is concerned with you guys, and it is something that you would want to still have awareness of.
So maybe in the objective there, we can just reemphasize what we've already said in the text, the paragraph about communications is why it's there.
They're still not going to care.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't.
We care.
Don't overwork yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can always, I mean, there are ways to really try to drive in the like long-term mitigation aspects to some of these actions. But that being said, they still probably want to see other mitigation, or at least other actions were considered. Which you guys have a lot of actions considered above. So if you guys wanted to increase the amount of priority projects, just because you guys have a priority project doesn't require that they get completed. But if you have those and it covers more of those hazards that you're looking at, just as like, oh, this is maybe more long-term we're looking at, or something that isn't an immediate need, but it's a mitigation action priority project that we have down the line, that might be something, or a way to like cover more of the hazards and mitigation actions. You would just have to go in and kind of expand upon these potential actions.
Okay, so we'd have to go through there and pick out something we considered that might be more fitting to what they're looking for, even though it's not something we can complete or afford.
Right. Let's just add a couple more priority projects to fill that.
Mm-hmm.
Would it make more sense to put the priority projects first and the potential mitigations after that? Just seems like it would be more logical.
Not really. I don't know. I think it's the sections are fine, in my opinion. We'll just have to add more prior mitigation actions to the priority projects.
So, Mason, what's your thoughts on the results, the next one down from our previous plan?
All I wrote on here is that I kind of pointed out the elements that this would be looking to meet. There was one thing that I noted was that in your results that you have, the policy guide wants you to clarify whether it was completed, if it wasn't completed or if it's still in action? Is this something that you guys are going to move forward with? Or if it's something that wasn't completed and is no longer being pursued, just explaining why it's no longer being pursued. So with some of them, you just kind of have to add more that kind of like language, right? Like maintaining the ingress, it is a present and ongoing one. So I would just include in this, like, because this is an ongoing mitigation or mitigate priority, this is being carried forward to our new, to our,
right,
that kind of like something saying that it's still happening. Or if it's completed, they just want to see that it's completed and clearly stated that it's been done. I guess this is a good example. Has this one been completed? Is it still ongoing? We see that a propane generator was installed, but are there multiple generators that need to be installed? So it's still something that is being pursued.
So do we get in trouble if we don't get this to the FEMA by January?
Sorry, can you repeat your question?
I said, so are we going to get in trouble if we don't get this to FEMA till after January?
Not if nobody's working at FEMA.
Fortunately, the people we're working with are still, they haven't been furloughed, but it is a concern. It depends. Your guys' plan expires in December. If it goes past that, it isn't the end of the world. If a disaster happened in your town and you didn't have a plan in place, that could be a concern. It's more so just making sure that you guys are covered by a plan, hopefully before a natural disaster occurs, which we never know when, so. That's just kind of the hard part you're balancing.
Well, technically, we should be covered by Grand County's plan also.
I did have a question about that. I was going through Grand County's plan, and I didn't see they did one in 2023 to 2028. Did you guys participate in that plan?
We did participate, but because we already had gone and done our own plan, I don't know what they included in there to say that they had used our plan, or I'm not sure how our participation was recorded in their plan.
Okay. Yeah, because I was looking through, like, the adoptions for their plan. Did you guys, like...
We did not adopt their plan, no, because we already had our own plan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we would have to request to be... added back to their planning process, I believe.
Yeah, you would have to have adopted their plan to be covered by 2028.
Okay.
As like a participating jurisdiction within that plan. Which I don't think you currently are.
No, we're not. But I think, you know, if the future, if this becomes too much of a burden for our small staff, we may have to go back to doing that and just be being part of the multi-jurisdictional plan.
Yeah.
I believe the town was many years ago, and it just, their process was not beneficial to us at all.
So was it just a plug-in?
It was a third party that shows up, and everybody just signs a sign-in roster, and it really didn't help us come to where we are now with a greater understanding of our vulnerabilities, or even put us on a path towards solving any of our mitigation. So it seemed like a bit of a useless plan for us.
Yeah, and that's always a concern with these contractors that come in and don't really get the full involvement from the community to understand the vulnerabilities and stuff.
Well, I think the fact that it's gotten so complicated to develop a plan and that it requires a third-party contractor to do it is part of the problem, because nobody's actually sitting down and doing these discussions and doing their own plans.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Especially, well, depends on the jurisdiction. Grand County, I think, fortunately, because it's just, I believe, in their plan, they only have Grand County and Moab. It wasn't like the contractor or third party had to juggle as many jurisdictions. We have some mitigation plans that have 89 jurisdictions participating, wow, which is quite difficult to kind of, I can see how still
how
very
would that benefit, how would that benefit anyone?
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. I think I said a while ago, which is just an option for you guys, that I think would be beneficial, or potentially beneficial, depending on workload and kind of how you guys feel about the plan, is that the Utah DEM has a direct technical assistance program, which is specifically targeted towards rural and small communities throughout Utah to give them assistance on things like developing a mitigation plan at no cost to you guys. You apply, and then using state management funds, we do have a contractor, but the nice part is it's just you guys and the contractor, so they would be working directly with you guys kind of at the different steps and just kind of getting those components or helping you like get to where maybe if there's very technical stuff that the policy guide is that you guys don't know how to address, they'd be able to help you with those things or do different risk assessments for you.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
It's not required for you guys to do that, but it is just another resource if you would want to look into it.
Well, I don't think I threw a lot
at you guys. Sorry.
No, these are always a lot when we get down to this, the end section, and the back and forth between submitting and resubmitting.
Especially with months and months of planning meetings that you guys have done,
uh-huh,
and going through it. I'm sure right here where I'm just throwing every portion of your plan at you, it feels like a lot.
Well, we'll go through your comments and everything that you talked about here, and we'll work on that planning review tool and get it ready to send to you.
Sounds good. I will also send to the town clerk email. I mentioned this kind of earlier on, but I noticed that earlier in the plan, it referenced the 2023 version of the policy guide. I'll just send you the 2025 one just in case you guys don't have it, and then you can kind of update in the plan that you're using the most recent version.
Okay. Cool. Maria's away.
Well, thank you for all your work, Mason, and making time for us, because we're sure trying to get this done. So, yeah.
Thanks for pre-reviewing.
I'm happy to. Your guys' plan was very nice to read, I'll say that. I've read a lot of plans this year, and some of them can be kind of hard to get through. But your guys' so far has just had a real good painting picture of like your community and such that I feel like is missing from some of our other plans where you don't really get into like knowing about it. So I'm very impressed. And especially when you guys are doing this all yourself, when we have a lot of communities that just hire it out. So it's very impressive.
Thanks.
Thank you. That's encouraging.
Yeah. Are there any other questions for me?
I don't have any. Anybody else?
I assume Justin's going to send around the mic-up copy.
Yes. Yeah. I will.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, you're welcome to call it a night or stick around if you'd like.
Thank you. Yeah. I just want to extend my email. It's masontemp@utah.gov. Sorry, my name is spelled, no spaces, on the screen. If there's any questions, feel free to reach out. I'm happy to answer. Or if there's specific questions about feedback I gave or elements that you're looking for, always happy to hop on a meeting or kind of respond via email.
Okay.
Or give a call.
And probably as we get through the plan review tool, we'll probably be emailing you.
Okay, sounds good. I'll look for him.
Have
a good night.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay, we can now we can move on to item 4, discussion and possible action regarding completion of the 2025 priority projects. Addition of the amended 2020 priority project number 2. Did we want to add that to these projects? We obviously now need to think about adding some projects that are more in line with mitigation actions that they're looking for. Was priority 2 from last time?
Priority 2 is we dropped it up our 4. What was it? And it is,
there it is.
Maintain the ingress and egress roads open to the community in case of an emergency. Finish upper 80 easement to Green Gate to BLM. Finish 4 season service to Shaper. Continue to maintain egress and ingress to the community. Repair and armor Castle Creek Culvert at Castle Valley Drive. We took this off.
Because it was too much.
What was the reason for that, actually? I don't recall.
For taking it off?
Yeah.
I think because it was too many things in one thing, and we thought it was like we were never going to be able to complete it. But if we don't have to complete it, I guess we might as well add it back.
So I think we need to move this back. That's what I'm
for.
Right.
The other one. Which one is? Well, there's a few that we took out because it was like, we won't be able to do this, but this is like a project that would be important for us.
Right.
We just can't do it at five.
So, yeah, that makes sense to put it back. And
yeah.
Then we'll have to go through the little, add the boxes that we needed to
right.
complete it with the funding and the
right.
jurisdictions and the weed and the.
Right, because we did the permission from BLM was number 1. Working with the green belt people, that was number 2. Communications was number 3, and number 4 was backup generator situation. So in our priority projects, we did not continue with number 2 from the 2020 plan.
So that one should meet their
back.
Mitigation action requirements.
Yeah. So that.
So do it. Did any bars meet their? Mitigation action requirements?
I think most of them did. It was just a few small details.
Right.
The communications one and whatnot.
They're not even going to look at that.
They're not even going to look at that. I don't know if that means that we should remove it.
No.
I think we leave it because this is our plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is ours, and these things are important to us. So
that's why we're doing this.
Right.
Yeah, we just need to make sure that we include whatever.
Right. So therefore, I think we shouldn't. And my other question on the agenda was: should we rank these priorities? Well, it doesn't
no,
sound like we need
we
to
don't
do
need
that.
To do that.
So that's off the table.
Create work.
But I am suggesting that we move this number 2 into our 2025
yeah.
priority.
Carry
project.
It over.
I would agree.
Yeah. I think we just didn't. We got overwhelmed in it. Anyway.
So, and that one actually addresses several hazards.
Mm-hmm. We could
so
break
could
it up.
So that could off like quite a few things right there.
Yeah.
We could break it up. It doesn't all have to be in one thing. We could do.
Oh, we could split some of those into specific mitigation actions like
yeah.
right.
the Green Gate
right.
Road and the Shaper Road or like So those are.
Our theory was to have minimal priority projects, only four, but he just said that we could have as many as we wanted. I'm not saying we should have a lot.
We just have to address each, that the hazards are being addressed.
Right. So we could add, we could add a couple more if.
Well, I think we're going to have to, but we could split this priority two into a couple.
Yeah. Okay. No, that makes sense to me totally.
You want to make new boxes and send them out and we can help you add the information.
Because I think that this Castle Creek project should have its own thing. It's a huge thing for us, and it makes us look good once it's done. And it's going to be within this planned time frame, realistically. So why let it slip through the cracks? You know, it's right at the end of one plan and the beginning of another. So let's move it, give it its own priority. And then I don't know how you want to divide up these other ones.
Yeah, the Green Gate and the.
Yeah, the Green Gate one and the.
Well, it makes sense to break them into like bite-sized chunks.
Yeah, yeah. As far as the other hazards that maybe we haven't addressed in a priority project, I'm at a loss, you guys.
I think that goes back to what he said about the narrative at the beginning.
Right.
Where we described that our main hazards are fire, flooding, and basically fire and flooding.
Right.
And that these other hazards are included because it's possible that they could occur. Very rare. There have been no damages from any of them ever. So we hadn't really prioritized projects for them because they don't have them.
That
narrative should come before we go into our fire floods. So that there's good reason that.
I think we can cover a lot. Just like to start. This is kind of what we were going through. How we're
that paints a better picture. We don't see issues with substance every day.
No.
We're not getting calls from residents that their house is sinking into the ground.
We could take out subsidence. We could remove it from the plan.
That, or like you said, make it a subset of earthquakes, even though the ones in Moab were a result of not earthquakes.
And this stuff here probably wasn't either.
Right. We don't even need it in the plan.
Right.
If it looks lame, let's get rid of it.
But it would only affect.
Well, I think we've only included them because the point being that it's possible.
Yeah.
And that's what they want in your plan.
Right.
So the reason hurricane isn't in our plan is because it isn't possible.
Right. Yeah.
Or an avalanche. Or,
tornadoes. I mean,
well, those are possible. They have happened.
I know.
Yeah.
But very unfortunate.
But that's severe weather.
We've got two things going on here. One is making an actual plan that will do us good. And the other is
meeting requirements.
Exactly. Tell me about it. Yeah.
Which at the end of the day isn't our main priority in my eyes.
No.
The box checking, because we are never going to qualify for anything anyway.
Exactly.
So what's the missing the deadline? It's not like we're going to lose insurance.
Right.
No.
But it comes in for if you are going to have some maybe mitigation planning grants or something, having your plan does qualify you for other things, and that's part of the reason to do it.
That could be an actual legitimate reason.
It is one reason we do it.
And it also seems to me that maybe we should be included in the Grand County plan, because if a disaster occurred, our damages could add to their damages. Could it make us hit the threshold? That's the problem. It's hard to hit that threshold. I mean, so if we were brought in with them, which we should be, we're in their jurisdiction.
Well, we have our own plan.
Yeah.
Well, we have our own plan, but we're going to be interacting. And so,
well, we do. Yeah.
But so our own plan will never give us the threshold we need to get any help from FEMA.
And it's also being in their plan isn't either.
Right. But maybe together we might. I don't know.
Can you have essentially both active and one superseding the other?
Not really.
It doesn't make sense.
Not really. The only reason it would make sense to me to go back to being covered under their multi-jurisdictional plan is that if we don't have the capacity to do this planning or process ourselves.
Right. Well, it was for, I wasn't clear on the fact that they were mutually exclusive. I was thinking like we could have our plan that details our stuff locally, and if there's something missing from there or lapses or whatever else, we immediately default being.
Well, we could always adopt and participate and adopt their jurisdictional plan and be covered in that way and continue to do this process without going through the hoop part.
That makes really good sense.
Yeah.
And that's something to consider.
Well,
going forward, I mean, I think we're really close.
Let's not change it now.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
But it's like possible that for the next time, because I'm not doing any more than one more term in this job, and for someone new to come into a planning update year and have to understand everything that's been happening for the last 15 years, it's going to be tough.
That's a good point. In 4 years' time, shit's going to hit the fan on you.
I think that's something serious to consider.
I don't know.
It's all going to align again.
Continue our own for our own purpose.
Yeah.
If we can do our own and still be covered under the county, that might be the safest bet. Because then it also takes the time pressure.
Right.
And it takes something to hoops part out. It's a waste of time in a lot of cases.
That can be. Or it can certainly feel that way.
I have a real disconnect when it comes from looking at their policy code and then applying it into our plan. It's just like foreign language.
Yeah.
It's like, so what do you really want?
Well, no, it's helpful for him to come and tell us what that
for
really
sure. Means. Yeah. In the meantime, I think we need to have a flood related priority project.
Well, that is.
I think most of them.
All of those.
Yeah. Well, we need to cite that then. Yeah.
Will we get the document that's marked up?
Yes.
Because I had a really hard time.
I couldn't see any of that. Yeah.
There
are folks in the microphone recording for the hour recordings.
I don't know. I was recording to this. I'm recording this on
the So in other words, I personally could not follow.
I couldn't see anything.
I couldn't hear.
The other thing is that
you guys.
Second document that he showed with
the tool thing.
The tool thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have that?
Yes. We have all of that. Yeah.
No, I sent it to you guys a couple times, but it's like it might as well be in some foreign language. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to take that language and apply it to our document. It's just, yeah. I mean, I've struggled a lot with that.
So, yeah. No,
we should all have it in your email somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. So let's just focus on getting a couple of priority projects out of priority two.
Right.
Like make some new boxes and add some time frames and some stuff.
Right.
Okay. We can pass that around and we can all contribute to what needs to go into it.
You guys know this inside out.
What? Priority two?
It was one of the ones from 2020, so it was.
It's the 2022 part.
Yeah, at the very end of
it's
the review.
67 on what I have. Now, once we start using this tool, we need to have all this, what we talked about fixing tonight, done. Then we need to have Colleen do the formatting because we have to cite page numbers
right.
On the tool.
In the tool.
And if she hasn't done her formatting, we don't have the right page numbers.
Right.
So there.
Yeah.
So priority two is right now on page 67, it looks like.
Yeah, that's what I have.
That's the one we can break
up. Yeah, into a couple.
Yeah.
And that can address some flooding, some fire, because evacuation routes. And those are our big things. So a narrative at the beginning describing.
And that counts as mitigation, not preparation.
The mitigation actions? I would think so. Those are long-term things.
Yeah.
Getting your routes.
There's a lot of overlap there. I did not get that whole convention that they had with the prevention and mitigation.
That's the confusing part of the planning guide, I think. The
like the mitigation is like bulldozing stuff around, and the preparation is like having a communication system.
Prep,
you know, all the interest
preparedness.
Right.
Yeah, what's there's a very fine line between the two.
Like the mitigation action might be, we're going to put some Gabion baskets full of rocks around this area that is, you know, to prevent it from flooding this area over here. That's a mitigation.
Well, where do the Gabions come from? They need to be prepared.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can't use them. So what's...
Right.
And we have to show a department in the budget.
And then he cited our one of our things that we did manage to do last time.
It does feel like preparedness too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a fine line, I think.
I think what they're getting is they want to directly mitigate damage that would be caused by a hazard.
Yeah.
But if the hazard hasn't happened yet, you are preparing, not mitigating. So once your road is washed out
for it, yes. But by having radios, you are not like expressly limiting damage done.
Oh yes, you can.
Yeah.
You're not explicitly limiting said.
Yes, we are.
But if you don't have radios,
the road is washed out because the radio.
How are you going to get there to mitigate it?
What's the mitigation?
They weren't preventing.
So that was
like solid concrete. So like this road has washed out in the past. We armored it. We put a low water crossing on it. That would be something that they would.
Right.
And this is just for the box check.
Yeah.
It should still be in our plan.
Right.
Like
yeah.
One argument for going to Green County is doing our own thing because then it doesn't matter what.
The boxes get checked and then we can do our own thing.
Right.
That's actually useful.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially since our taxpayers' dollars.
Well, I think we're doing both here.
Well, yeah.
It's just hard to finish the both part with the box checking in mind because it complicates our work.
Well, at least they generously said we could leave the communications in there. They just wouldn't look at it. So
that's fine.
That we could just like put an asterisk next to them or whatever, saying like, this is for the box checking stuff, or this one should be ignored, or whatever else.
In that intro paragraph says that all these are specifically important to us in our jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a good example of that tonight was the priority one from 2020 was getting an emergency operations plan and all the work we've done with RDAP.
All right.
I mean, that was a big project. And to just say that,
no, that was
that's not a mitigation strategy is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not going to sweat all that.
No.
Like, we...
No. No.
So we obviously don't need to prioritize the project.
That's right.
And that was item 5 tonight. And 6, discussion and possible action on updates and timeline. I think we've kind of integrated into this whole discussion.
We have, yep.
So I guess our timeline. So our normal 4th Tuesday or this month, I'm probably going to be hunting in Colorado with Oracle. So I don't know that we want to have a second.
I think we shouldn't wait till the 4th of November or the 4th week.
So
of
when
November.
Do you want to meet again?
We could also do a lot of it.
I think we could tidy up a lot of this through some email for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, we really need to reconvene to do like a final check over send, right?
Yeah.
That's the big thing that we need to like do in person as a group, making sure that's all good, having a discussion. Everything else I think could happen forward.
But people have got to read their emails and they got to communicate.
Okay.
You know, I end up working in a black hole a lot of times, and I just, yeah. So.
Yeah, Jocelyn.
I'm like the black hole person. It's just like, okay, I send it out, and I don't hear anything. So it's like, but when we meet, then we have to suspend with the council. Anyway, yeah.
So this formatting and the corrected page numbering need to be done in order to apply the tool.
Yeah.
To send it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that means our priority right now is to get this, our mitigation actions from priority two put into some new boxes sent out to all of us. We can help you fill them in.
Okay. Is there any,
and then we can add them so that she can page number everything and format it into,
right.
So we can start working on the plan review tool.
A lot of this could be made smaller.
Right. Well,
and I've also got the cup renewals coming up, and I'm only on number 50.
So well, if it doesn't need a bunch of formatting, we'll just leave it where it is.
Yeah. The service?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we're...
I don't have a problem with the formatting.
Well, I've just been hucking things all over, just going, oh, we'll just worry about that.
Well, he didn't you say know. Iota 1 about the formatting.
So, whatever.
Well, you could just leave it the way it is. I can just fix the table of contents, but a lot... The automatic table of contents depends on the formatting request. Otherwise,
right.
It's a manual table of contents.
Right.
Okay. This is... This is the Dark Sky application, deja vu all over it.
But no, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, no, we don't need to get that crazy.
It just takes a huge push at the end, you guys.
Yeah.
Huge.
Okay.
Get it done. So, I mean, with the Dark Sky thing, we got to a point where we almost gave up. So we were back to what we were talking about before. Should we wait to the end of November, or should we meet the first week of November?
It might be good to try to meet somewhere in the first part of November so that we can finalize and make sure, go through the plan review tool after we've got that together. And
right. Okay.
Get you help you get ready to send it off.
Right. Yeah.
Especially if you get into it and draw some blanks or just.
Right. Okay.
So are we looking at dates, like the first week in November?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
At least a tentative one, so then you can send it around and everybody can.
That gives me a week to do this, so, yeah.
So our first Tuesdays are always a fire department training. The first Thursdays are planning commission.
Once a month. So
can we go with the second Tuesday of November?
Second Tuesday is a potluck.
What?
Okay.
Wednesday is the same. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, they seem to be.
Well, you want to do the first Wednesday?
Let's tentatively say the first Wednesday and see how much I can get this done by then. Because next week's a write-off. The next weekend week's a write-off. Then I'm
this month.
I'm almost at the end of October to even be working on that.
So maybe the first week of November isn't the best idea. Maybe like the second week.
Realistically, yeah. Yeah. Is that good?
It's okay.
Second Wednesday.
I guess. Yeah, seems okay. The 12th?
The 12th.
Okay, that's good. So Monday will be Veterans Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
That Wednesday. No more Tuesdays. I got it loud and clear, Ron.
Oh, Tuesday is Veterans Day. All right, well, that's really all we have tonight.
Think so. That was good.
Well,
yeah.
You send out his email and we can all look at those comments.
No question. But he wanted to have specific jurisdictions mentioned. Don't we have that?
Well, he wanted a lead. He wanted us to mention a lead. Who's the lead? Yeah.
So I'm just going to go into those boxes and go, you know, lead jurisdiction, blah, 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 and then other jurisdictions
yeah.
involved, blah, blah, blah. I'll just go in there. And...
Perfect.
Cool. All right.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. We can adjourn.
And we don't need to put this stuff away.